الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters، الله سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله said in سورة النساء آية 135، the famous ayah which defines the meaning of justice، where Allah سبحانه وتعالى said أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. الله سبحانه وتعالى said which means O you who believe, stand up for justice and bear witness of for the sake of Allah, though this may be against your own selves or your parents or your nearest relatives, be that person rich or poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nearer to them both in compassion. Therefore, do not follow your low desires lest you deviate. And if you swerve, that means you turn aside, then surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you do. I am reminding myself and you about this definition of justice, because justice, we have to remember and understand that the test of justice is to be just even when that hurts us. One can be just and one can pretend to be just, and or maybe one is just also when it suits us. That's that's easy. To do good for good is easy. Somebody is good to you are good to them, that's easy. But to be good to somebody who is not good to you, that is tough. That is the test. So justice, even where it hurts you, this is the real definition of justice in Islam. That's exactly what Allah is saying. Allah is saying stand up for justice and bear witness even if it is against yourself. Meaning, if you did something wrong, confess and say, sorry, this is my mistake. I'm not blaming it on somebody else. I'm not saying it's this one's fault, that one's fault. This is my fate. This is what happened. No, this is my mistake. This is what I did wrong. I own up to that. That's the meaning of standing witness against yourself. And similarly, against the nearest and dearest ones. You know, whether your children or your parents or brothers and sisters, closest relatives, who we like to stick up for. We like to stand up for them. But do understand that standing up for wrong is not only wrong in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it actually hurts the other person. We don't realize that. If you support somebody in evil because that person is your friend or your relative, then you are actually harming that person. And that's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used that famous quote in Arabic, where they used to say in the Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, support your brother whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. This was the quote. Support your brother both ways, whether he is the oppressor or if he is the oppressed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day used the same quote when he said to the Sahaba, support your brother whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand we should support our brother if he is the oppressed, but how can you say support your brother if he is the oppressor? And the reason they said that, the reason the Sahaba even questioned this, was because they knew that this position is not the position of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not somebody who supports an oppressor because he is related. But here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself saying, support your brother whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. So they asked this question. They said, how can we support our brother if he is the oppressor? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, support him by stopping his oppression. That was his way of teaching. He used to wake up people before he said something so that they are alert and they have, they're paying attention. So he said, he used this old saying and he said, support him even if he is an oppressor by stopping his oppression. Because if you do not stop his oppression, then he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is much worse. Much worse. Because whatever you do, obviously cannot be equal to the punishment that Allah will give him. So with respect to justice, this is something that we need to remember, that just because somebody does something because that person is you know, in whatever way we think related to us, we don't support them. This is not, and that is why this, you know, this particular ayat was, all of us saw this. We had hundreds of WhatsApp messages and emails floating around that Harvard Law School put up this ayat of the Quran on their library, big notice board, saying that this is the finest definition of justice that has ever been written in any book. So Harvard Law School quoted this ayat of the Quran saying this is the finest definition of justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, stand up for justice, even if it's against yourself, against your close relatives, against your parents, children and so on, whether they are rich or poor. Now this is the other aspect. We are very quick to stand up for people who are wealthy. But for people who are poor, all kinds of injustice just happens and goes away and nobody bothers. Nobody cares. Because that poor person can't say anything. But we need to remember that that poor person is poor materially, but that poor person is not less in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, the one who has no supporters in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his supporter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Masakeen. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Masakeen. He is the Rabb of the people who are miskeen. Right? Allah is not Rabbul Umara. I mean, of course, Allah is Rabbul Alameen. But Allah did not, you know, associate himself, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Rabb of the strong or the Rabb of the wealthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rabbul Masakeen, Rabbul Mustadafeen, the people who are oppressed. Yeah? You are the Rabb of the of these people. Allah didn't say you are the Rabb of the kings and the Rabb of the presidents. He is the Rabb anyway, but I'm just saying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't call him by these names. So therefore, we need to understand as far as justice is concerned. The reason I'm saying it is because today, after what happened in France and so on, and these things keep happening, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and protect everyone from incidents of this kind and from all kinds of violence. On the one hand, we have the Western world which refuses to face the fact that these kinds of things are not, they don't just happen in a vacuum. These are the result of actions or the lack of action that has happened over decades, not just you know, few days, over decades. So if you have a country where the economy is based on war and where the economy is based on selling arms, and if you are selling bombs to people, what do you think they will do? They won't make you know, amulets and jewelry out of those bombs. They're not going to turn those bombs, sell the bombs and donate the money to charity. If you are selling bombs, what do you think will happen? But we seem to have leaders who are completely devoid of all brains, or the reality is that they don't care what happens as long as it doesn't happen to them. But then, of course, you know, you sell enough bombs, then one day something will come back home, because all chickens come home to roost. So that people forget. Anyway, that is beside the point. My point is that when such things happen, what should be and what is our reaction? And I've, over the last few days, I've heard some people saying that, so what if innocent people died in Paris? After all, they killed our innocent people in Syria, or in Iraq and Afghanistan and so on and so on. Now, this is a completely insane argument. This is a totally stupid argument that has no basis in Islam whatsoever. Please let me make this very clear. This has no basis in Islam whatsoever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not kill innocent people because his innocent people were killed. And they were killed. What was the crime of Sumayya radiallahu anha? What was the crime of Yasir radiallahu anhu? What was the crime of the Sahaba who were murdered just because they said La ilaha illallah? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go back when he went to, when he entered Makkah as the conqueror of Makkah, as the Fatih of Makkah. He did not catch people and you know, retaliate and said, you did this and therefore I will kill you and so on. So he didn't kill anybody. He, as a matter of fact, forgave all of them. Now this is the thing that we have to understand, that the thing that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, the reason why we talk about it 14 centuries afterwards is not because he killed people because they killed his own people. That is usual, that everybody does it, right? Every person, every tyrant, every other person does that. Retaliation is nothing new. Retaliation happens all the time. So nobody would have remembered or bothered. They remember and they speak about that with honor. There is not even no orientalist, no enemy of Islam or whatever you want to call them, has ever said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam killed anybody in Makkah. They didn't say that. Nobody has ever said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam retaliated against people who harmed his own family and his own family. His daughter Zainab was radhiyallahu anha, but she was killed. So it's not just a matter of saying, you know, relatives, and not a matter of saying followers. Not just his own personal family was hurt. His family was killed. Their wealth was looted. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't take it back. All the Muhajirun left Makkah and came to Medina. They came, you know, with the clothes on their back. They all their wealth was confiscated by the people of Makkah. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back to Makkah, he had every right at least to restore what wealth had been taken. This is a matter of right. I mean, you take away my stuff, so give it back. Don't give me 1 cent more, but what you took, you give. That is my stuff. You took it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even return that. He did not even restore what was taken from his own people. He just let it go. He let everything go. And he forgave all of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam won not by killing enemies, but by killing enmity. He triumphed by, not by killing enemies, he triumphed by killing enmity, by killing hatred. That was his greatest triumph, in the sense of, because of that, what the biggest benefit of that was, that action put paid to and ended all future vendettas. Because when he did not take revenge, now nobody can take revenge on him. Because if he had taken revenge, no matter how justified it might have been, you might say, well, you know, you killed my, I killed yours. At the end of the day, that will result in some more of this evil happening. And the cycle continues over and over and over. And the Arabs were famous for this. They were famous for these blood feuds which lasted for generations. You kill one of my, I kill one of yours. And this goes on. And this is passed on from generation to generation. But he finished all of that in one stroke by forgiveness. Now, this does not mean you don't take care of yourself. It does not mean you don't protect yourself. It does not mean you don't defend yourself. No. But what it does mean is that stand up for justice. What is wrong is wrong. In Islam, the killing of innocent people is wrong. Just because those innocent people happen to belong to a country which has a certain policy does not make them guilty by association. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. And look at yourself and myself. How much influence do you have on India's foreign policy? You may like it, you may not like it, but how much influence can you change it? Can I change it? So if somebody says, I don't like the foreign policy of your country, bang, so I kill you. Does it make sense? The person you are killing, for all you know, might have been an equally big critic of their own country's foreign policy. You did not know that, because that person, I mean, you don't go around, you know, shouting from the rooftops all day, but you don't even know what. So just killing innocent people, this is not from Islam. Even if those innocent people belong to countries who are doing wrong, who are spreading war and so on and so forth in our lands, their action is wrong. And that action should be defended. When those people make war in your country, by all means fight them. That is your right as the citizen of the country to defend your place. Nobody can deny you that right. But killing innocent people, wherever they might be, is not from Islam. It is not justice. It is injustice in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That killing is murder. And if you die doing that, then you have not died shaheed, believe me. You have died a haram death. You have died as a murderer of innocent people. You have not died shaheed fi sabilillah. There is no Jannah to go to. You will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Very, very clear as far as Islam is concerned. Two wrongs do not make a right. Two wrongs do not make a right. And the argument that they are doing, my simplest answer to that argument is, they are not our teachers. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our teacher. So you make up your mind, who is your teacher? Who is your teacher? Hollande is your teacher. George Bush is your teacher. Condi Rice is your teacher. Colin Powell is your teacher. If Colin Powell is your teacher, then you should learn how to tell good lies before a lot of people. That's what he did best, lying through his teeth in front of a lot of people. Tony Blair is your teacher? or is Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he your teacher? Who is your teacher? Decide. Make up your mind. If your teacher is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have no right to do what these people do. Let them do whatever the hell they want. I mean, that they are not our teachers. Why are we bothered with them? We are the students and we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us try to practice what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And he was the epitome of justice, and his justice was what? That the truth is the truth, no matter where it comes from, no matter who is involved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this very, very clearly. Allah said the truth is not like falsehood. The truth is not like falsehood. The two are different. The truth is the truth and falsehood is falsehood. And therefore I remind you, me, myself and you, please let us make very sure that as far as we are concerned, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is our teacher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what guides us, not anybody else's theory. And the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear as far as justice is concerned, which is that we stand for justice no matter who is involved. And we speak up for the truth no matter who is involved. So this whole argument of saying they kill our innocent, therefore we kill their innocents and this is equal, this is complete and total nonsense. And this is not from Islam. And we completely and totally reject this kind of an argument. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased and to save us from all tests. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us to do that which is just and true and to be true representatives of Islam in this world. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.